It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, one T-Rex is scary, but how about a group of them hunting together? We'll check out some of the most intriguing stories in the world of science. First, Michael Arnold joins us now in the studio because this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like cool new science discoveries, and it's your support that makes that happen because listener support is actually the largest source of funding for all of your favorite Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Give now. Every amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In this hour, we have a goal of 10 gifts, and these hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You really do have the power to make a difference because people who listen, that's you, provide the most significant share of funding for Ideas Network programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in the programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A lot of listeners become donors out of a sense of kind of a shared commitment because you think of WPR as a resource that should be available to everybody, and because you yourself have gotten value out of it over the last year or decade, it's time to put something back in.
That's right.
Or century.
Century. Could be a century. It's possible. Make a donation for yourself and also for the community. The amount is up to you. The important thing is that you participate. Maybe you make your first ever gift at, say, $10 a month and get that new t-shirt we have at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Right. We've got a new design of our Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirt available for the first time ever during this spring membership drive. It's got a design with a few different landscapes. It's a really attractive shirt, or at least it looks very attractive on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I have not physically seen the shirt.
It's very attractive in person, too.
Okay, yeah. Good. That's great to hear. Well, you can have your very own Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirt when you pledge $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And WPR has a reputation for quality and substance, and that's thanks in a large part to the support of members over the years. Your contributions in the past have gotten us to where we are today, and your gift today will take this kind of strength into the future.
Your dollars give WPR the means to keep this quality and substance that you count on in our programming each and every day. Give now online at WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552.
Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
That's right. It takes just a few minutes to make that gift to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 50 minutes left in this hour. We're looking for 10 more people to join in. You and your friends make WPR possible when you give. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you need a little extra reason to give to Wisconsin Public Radio, how about this? When you give, you're automatically entered into a drawing. What is that drawing for? It's for a $500 gift card to a grocery store near you. And there's actually going to be five, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Winners of this $500 grocery store gift card, five separate gift cards.
That's right.
You don't have to shop with four other random people.
No.
And split it up. You get to make your own call on this. It's an added incentive to pledge. By the way, if you're a sustainer, you are automatically entered, and if you become a sustainer now, you'll be entered, and you'll be entered in all future Pledge Drive drawings. It's a great deal, a great extra reason to give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And speaking of sustainers, you can become one right now. It's an easy way to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. It's really a good way to remember to support Wisconsin Public Radio because your pledge is always active. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It'll provide a reliable support to the programs you love.
Sabrina in Madison pledged this drive. Sabrina says, I drive a semi and WPR keeps me company. I enjoy the variety of programs and I appreciate hearing opposing viewpoints on social and political topics. Sabrina, I'm so glad we can keep you company in your semi. How about you? Where do we spend time with you? How much does it add to your day? Make a gift just like Sabrina did, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference, and it supports the thing that improves your drive every day. Make your support known now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thanks.
This is Central Time. Now it's time for a regular check-in on the latest science news with Discover Magazine. A recent discovery of multiple Tyrannosaurus fossils could shatter the long-held belief that the creatures were solitary hunters. We'll learn more about the find and what it could mean for what we know about dinosaurs. Plus, new research shows that while people love their screen time, they're still pretty interested in nature, and we'll find out how humans' ability to adapt led us to become the world's dominant species. Anna Groves is with us, assistant editor at Discover Magazine. Anna, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, Anna, there's this T-Rex story that I want to start with, because you know, you think of one T-Rex chasing you around in Jurassic Park, that's bad. Think of three or four of them working together, that's really bad. Before we get to this new find, what do we think we know, or what had we thought we knew about how a T-Rex might have hunted and how social it was?
Well, the old story was that, I mean, just like you described, what you picture in Jurassic Park is that a T-Rex would have been a solitary predator working alone. A lot of paleontologists thought that they probably weren't even smart enough to have any social relationships or social structure.
And what are we finding now that, you know, this is not for sure, but what are we finding now that might change that story?
Right. It's not for sure, but there was a group of Tyrannosaurus fossils that were found in Utah a couple years ago that really looked like it was a family unit. It was an adult Tyrannosaurus, a teenager, and two juveniles. And that really suggested, like, these Tyrannosauruses might have been hanging out in a family unit, and it caused a lot of paleontologists to sort of rethink how we thought Tyrannosauruses hung out.
And the researcher behind that find, part of that team, is definitely buying into this idea that, hey, maybe the T-Rex was more social and maybe thus more intelligent than we thought. Can you talk about the argument that he and some others are making?
Yeah, well, just the fact that they that the fossils were found in a group suggests that there might have been some sort of social structure in these groups. And others are even coming in and saying that maybe they could have been hunting in groups, in packs. This makes a lot of sense if you think about like how other pack animals work. Like if it takes a pack of wolves to take down an elk, like why wouldn't it take a pack of T-Rexes to take down some sort of dinosaur or herbivore that was traveling in herds? So a lot of it is just speculation at the time, but they're hopeful that there's going to be more fossil groups like this found in the future that'll sort of give more clarity to the issue.
And we have thought all along that we don't think of reptiles in general, I guess, as being social hunters, pack hunters, right? I mean, I don't know all the reptiles out there. I can't think of any that would hunt in packs, but that's part of why we thought this about dinosaurs, right?
Right, and apparently some researchers are coming out and reminding us that there are even some reptiles that exhibit a little bit more social behaviors than we might have thought. Apparently there's some crocodilians that will, like, play with each other.
And also there was some thought that reptiles, well, maybe they weren't just going to have the brain power. Is this just kind of a pro-mammal bias maybe playing into this?
Right, exactly.
What
people are definitely biased towards mammals. They think, I mean, we assume that most or all mammals will be smarter than reptiles.
So the next step, I guess, would be trying to find more groups of T-Rex fossils that happen end up together, which doesn't sound like a sure thing, that even if they did hunt together, we might not find them that way.
Right, right. Because to find the group of fossils together requires that they also died together, which is sort of a weird fluke event. Like this particular group of fossils, they're wondering if maybe there was a flash flood or something that would have drowned all of them all at once.
I want to turn to another story. You wrote about some research that appeared in the journal Nature, I believe it was, on screen time, the internet, and nature. A lot of assumptions are that, okay, if we're spending more time on screens, it means we're not interested in what's going on in the world of nature, but maybe not. What did you look at?
Yeah, so this paper was out in PLOS Biology, actually.
Oh, that was
and it was by a conservation biologist who sort of dabbled in data science to do this cool study where he looked at 2 billion page views from Wikipedia species pages. And he was actually doing a different project, and just sort of on a whim, he was like, well, I wonder if I plot these page views over time, if there will be any trends. And so he just happened to pick a seasonal, like a migratory bird that's seasonal in its appearance in the U.S., and the page views perfectly matched the migration patterns of the birds, meaning people were reading the page interested about this bird during the time of year that that bird was around.
And then he went on with this and looked at other species, right, and tried to see if non-migratory birds had different patterns, if a bird like a turkey might peak on one day of the year. Yeah. What kind of things did he see?
Yeah, so the non-migratory species, things like chickadees and cardinals that live in the U.S. year-round, they still had a little bit of fluctuations, but not nearly as much as the migratory birds that you literally can't see in the summertime, or in the wintertime, excuse me. So there were some really cool patterns there, like cardinals were pretty consistent year-round in how often people were reading the Wikipedia page about cardinals. Turkeys were a really funny one. They did show some seasonal fluctuations. They peaked in their page views, how many people are reading about wild turkeys in the springtime. But their biggest peak, of course, is this little blip on Thanksgiving Day. Everyone's reading about the wild turkey.
So it sounds like people, in some cases, use the internet in the way that I, you know, after I watch a movie, I'll go look up all the actors on IMDb and try to figure out where I saw them before. We do the same thing with nature. We see the bird pop up, or we hear about it popping up, and we supplement our interest in nature by hunting around online at that time.
Yeah, it was just a really encouraging finding because it shows that people are still paying attention to what they're seeing outside.
We're talking to Anna Gross from Discover Magazine, taking a look at some of the most intriguing stories in the world of science. Coming up, we'll continue our science news check-in and look at the adaptability of humans and how it affected our evolution. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our science news roundup with Anna Grove. She's an assistant editor at Discover Magazine. Anna, let's take a look now at human evolution. There's a piece in the April edition of Discover that looks at how we humans kind of took over the globe. And it's all about, we have kind of a unique kind of adaptability, right? What's going on?
Yeah, so a lot of animals you think of as being either generalist or specialist. So a generalist, of course, is something like a raccoon that can live in lots of different places, eat lots of different foods. And then you have specialists, which is things like a koala bear that eats only eucalyptus. So there's new research out that suggests that maybe the reason why humans are so good at living everywhere is because we can be both. We can both generalize and live everywhere. But also, a lot of new research is coming out to show that different groups are actually specialized and adapted to where they live.
Now, I hear that, and my first thought would be, oh, yeah, it's culture. We adapt by, you know, learning how to wear coats in the extreme cold climates and use certain tools in other climates. But no, we also, it looks like, physically adapt to this wide variety of climates and habitats, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what I thought, too. So one of the cool examples of this is the people who live at high elevation. So there's a lot of reasons why living at high elevation is hard. It's usually cold. It's usually dry. You're closer to the sun, so you get a lot of UV radiation. But apparently the biggest thing is that the oxygen is low in the air. But apparently there's 80 million people worldwide that live above the threshold for like comfortable oxygen levels called the hypoxia threshold. So what these researchers have found is that some of these populations, like people living high in Tibet, actually have genetic changes that show that they have adapted to this low oxygen environment. They're not just acclimated.
Which is pretty amazing. I think I would never acclimate to that kind of environment based
yeah.
on limited experience at high altitudes anyway. And does this mean what we evolve quickly? We, over the course of a few generations, have these adaptations?
Well, I don't know how quickly it's happening. I'm thinking it's taken a lot longer than just a few generations.
Okay,
but
I was exaggerating.
but yes, over time, I don't want to put a timetable
sure.
on it, but over many, many generations, people would adapt to these different extreme environments.
And it looks like, compared to some of our early ancestors, our early cousins in the development of what we think of now as modern humans, we were unique even among that group. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so this is actually what the new research is mostly talking about, is that maybe this adaptability is why our species, Homo sapiens, outlived the other early humans like Homo erectus.
Right, because they were, if I remember my early science correctly, they were starting to use tools and things like that, like modern humans do. But maybe they didn't have that adaptability, that physical adaptability that we had.
Yeah, it seems like more and more research is showing that those species really just stuck to the same sorts of habitats, and they didn't branch out like Homo sapiens did.
Interesting. And I want to take a look at one more thing. The 20 Things You Didn't Know article this week is about seasons. Why do we have seasons on Earth? It sounds like there may have been a big collision involved in how our seasons work.
Yeah. So apparently, well, first of all, the reason why we have seasons is because the Earth is tilted a little bit on its axis. It's not straight up and down like a spinning top. But a lot of astronomers believe that about 4.5 billion years ago, something probably the size of Mars knocked into Earth and turned it on its side a little bit.
That's a frightening thought.
Yeah, right? I hope that doesn't happen again.
Right. And it's that tilt that gives us the seasons. And I've heard people incorrectly, it turns out, think that, okay, the Earth moves closer and further from the sun. That much is true. It does. We're kind of at this, like, elliptical orbit. But they think, okay, we're closer to the sun, it's summer, and we're further from the sun, it's winter. That's not it.
Right. Since the orbit isn't a perfect circle, a lot of people think that, like, well, of course, when we're closer to the sun, that's going to make it hotter, but that would affect the whole Earth, not just like one hemisphere at a time. So it's really the tilt that means when it's summer in Wisconsin, it's winter in Australia.
And then the piece looks into how some animal species have adapted to the seasons. You know, some of us humans have adapted by watching Netflix and eating cookies indoors until it's finally spring here in Wisconsin. How about non-human species? What do they do?
Yeah, so we know the most about animals that migrate across land. That's sort of the most common example. But there's also marine mammals that migrate up and down in the water column as the seasons change. So they're following oxygen levels that vary with the seasons.
And, of course, then there's the hibernating animals, or the ones that go into a dormant state, even if it's not technically hibernation, right?
Yeah. So we know the obvious hibernators like bears, but there's a similar a similar thing that happens with a lungfish is a cool example. And a lungfish lives in a freshwater environment, but it dries up completely during the dry season. But instead of moving, the lungfish just burrows underground to look for moisture. And so that's called estivating instead of hibernating.
And Anna, as we wrap up, anything have you excited about the change of seasons and spring coming along?
Oh, my gosh. I'm counting down the days until we peak 40.
All right. Anna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Anna Groves, assistant editor at Discover Magazine, which is based in Waukesha. She joined us today for a monthly check-in on some of the coolest science news. Coming up, President Trump has released his budget proposal for 2020, which includes spending cuts for nearly all federal agencies and new money for a border wall. We'll dive into the details and how they're being received. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Michael Arnold is in the studio with me to ask for your support. You count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations, and we count on you to help keep those discussions on the air.
And the reason we do is because listener support's the largest piece of funding that makes this show possible. So that's why we're asking for your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's really important.
We're looking for 9 more pledges by the end of this hour. We can do it. We can do it with your help. Thank you so much if you've already given this drive.
But if you haven't, you should give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You and 8 of your friends will fund the programs you enjoy.
And we just had that conversation about some of the news in the science world. We do that every month. And we also try to bring you other conversations about science. And Michael, I know you're a fan of hearing about science. And from what we know about our listeners, a lot of people out there really enjoy learning more about the latest in the science world.
Yeah, people like science. And if you enjoy it, you know that there aren't a whole lot of radio stations that are talking about it. So that's what makes WPR unique. And that's why your donation is so important. If you appreciate a radio station that educates you on a daily basis, pledge your support now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you hear every day on Central Time possible. So choose an amount that works with you and make that gift.
And we heard that story about Tyrannosaurus rexes. Maybe the science is still, you know, open to question, maybe working together to accomplish a common goal. Which is, you know, to catch other dinosaurs.
True.
You know, apart from the gruesome part of it, it's really inspiring how they might have worked together to get something done that they couldn't have done on their own. That's how a pledge drive works. Again, except for killing and eating a dinosaur. People work together. They make their pledges. It all adds up, and it makes these conversations possible. Help take a bite out of this goal with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've created a new analogy for what the drive is. We're like dinosaurs running across the ground and attacking something together.
You hearing that pledge, people?
You can join the other dinosaurs and provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs you care about. Become a sustainer now. Choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month. Set it up to be ongoing. It's easy to do, and we have better technology now than the dinosaurs did.
True.
You can pledge online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
And anyone who pledges during this drive is entered into a drawing for one of five $500 grocery gift cards. You could use that to buy whatever you want, a lot of cheese, a lot of bread, maybe something to distract the group of T-Rexes they're chasing you. Whatever. You can go
red
any
meat.
Direction you want with that.
Do they eat red meat? I guess they did. Yeah.
Well, dinosaurs are related to birds. Does that make them maybe white
know.
Meat and dark meat?
I don't know. Who knows?
See, that's the one of the brilliant things about the world of science. The important thing is you support these conversations. You get entered into this drawing with a gift of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether you're like a dinosaur ganging up with other people to do something, or maybe you're doing a barn raising, a little bit more pastoral example.
That's happier.
However you do it, it's important to come together with your friends and neighbors and support this radio service that you rely on and that you learn from on a regular basis. Make your pledge now at $10 a month or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support.
Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll take a look at President Trump's proposed budget for the next fiscal year and how the plan is going over with members of Congress. First, Michael Arnold is in the studio with me for the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Listeners, that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy, so give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're making some progress on that goal. We have about 25 minutes left this hour. We're looking for eight more people to join in, eight people who are excited that it's starting to feel more like spring. And you know that you will continue to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. So your gift right now is important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, do it now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And on the Ideas Network, you hear diverse viewpoints from different guests, and callers bring a unique perspective to the conversation, too. Because there's so much good food for thought on these programs, you probably find yourself starting conversations with yesterday on Wisconsin Public Radio, I heard, or something like that with your friends to start conversations. Well, now it's time to not start a conversation, but to take action and support this service that brings up so many great conversations to your mind with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Everyone should make the gift that works for them. For you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day, so put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Picture yourself cruising down the aisles of your favorite grocery store with $500 extra to spend. That could be you. You'll have 5 chances to win a gift card to a grocery store near you. So what would you buy with an extra $500?
I would buy buckets of olives, green, Kalamata, those two.
I need a lot of gluten-free items. I would love that. That would fatten me up in no time.
I would probably end up buying beer and candy, but my wife would make me buy meat and vegetables.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Michael Arnold. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the Ideas Network programs you rely on, and that's why your support is so important during the spring membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. Well, it's your continued support that keeps us going.
If it's been a while since you donated, if you can't remember exactly the last time you donated, why not renew right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and we'll be glad to have you back.
You've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now it's time to make a habit of donating. It's a very good habit, a habit you can be proud of. Get started right now. Help out with your donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just got another pledge, looking for 7 more now in the next 20 minutes. That's great. Pick up a WPR t-shirt while you're there donating $10 a month or more, and ask for the new design of the Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirt when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the t-shirt is definitely worth it at $10 a month. If you want to check that out, go to the website, look at it, and then contribute at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And as an added bonus, wouldn't it be great to have $500 worth of cheese? Well, you could if you win the drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. In fact, you'll have 5 chances to win, and you could buy a lot of things with that $500 grocery gift card. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That music was really interesting, wasn't it? Sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
Hey, we heard from Susan in Kenosha. Susan says, I've learned so much from WPR about our community and the world beyond. I love learning new things. Susan, thank you so much for your gift. Does that sound like you? Do you love learning new things? I mean, honestly, that's what we're trying to help you do here. That's what I'm doing on the show every day. That's part of why I love my job. I'm constantly learning new stuff. That's a big part of what we bring you on the Ideas Network. Join Susan in supporting it now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's great to have a radio service that makes you think about new things and learn new things, and you appreciate that. You appreciate how it sustains your brain in an interesting way. And if it sustains your brain, you should sustain your public radio station by becoming a sustainer. It's easy to set up a monthly donation from your bank account or credit card, and it supports the programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, pays for your continuing education at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. So make that support known and to help provide reliable support for the programs you love.
You count on us for great conversations every day here on the Ideas Network. We count on you to help pay for it. We can't do it without you. We need your support. It really does make a difference. Make your gift in whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at how partisan political prejudice is distributed around the country and the best ways to get along with people we disagree with. First, the Trump administration has rolled out its proposed budget for the 2020 fiscal year. In addition to cutting spending to every federal agency except the Defense Department, the plan calls for more than $8 billion in new funding for the southern border wall. Acting White House Budget Director Russell Voigt told CNBC this morning that it's a move to get America's fiscal house in order.
This budget puts forward $2.7 trillion in spending reductions over the next 10 years and balances within 15 years. We think that's an important debate to have. Congress may resist it, but we also think that they have an interest, and we hope they have an interest in maintaining, in getting rid of the deficit, and that's the conversation we want to have with them going forward.
Democrats have called the proposal an appeal to Trump's base with no chance of being implemented. Caitlin Emma is a budget and appropriations reporter for Politico Pro. Caitlin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Before we get into the details of the president's budget plan, let's put it in perspective. This is a budget proposal, not the final deal. How much of a chance is there that a lot of these proposals will go through Congress?
That's a very good point. No administration's budget request ever really becomes law. These are widely regarded as, you know, wish lists, essentially what the administration would like to see, what they would like to cut. I hate to use the term dead on arrival because I think that it's overused, and I think us budget reporters try to avoid saying that, but that's essentially what this is in Congress. You know, a lot of Republicans have no appetite for what the president is proposing to do here, and the Democrats control the House now, so you can't forget that you have a third leg of politics here that you need to get through.
That said, what stands out to you big picture the most about the White House budget proposal?
Big picture, this budget is seeking huge cuts to domestic programs, non-military, non-defense domestic programs. And at the same time, it's looking to boost defense spending by $750 billion. Another big contentious piece of the budget is that the president is requesting $8.6 billion for a border wall. That is far more than the amount of money he shut down the government over for 5 weeks earlier this year. So certainly a request like that raises the specter of another government shutdown when federal funding runs out at the end of the fiscal year.
Let's get to the deficit part of this. The White House plan aims to cut the annual deficit by 15 years, which it doesn't mean the national debt. It means the annual deficit. Republican plans in the past have hoped to do that within 10 years. And I saw the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget says even what's in this plan is pretty optimistic. It's based on pretty rosy economic pictures, among other things. They don't think it's going to do what the president's team says it's going to do. What do we know about the deficit impact here?
What's interesting, like the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget noted, this budget assumes robust economic growth over the next decade. And they're saying that's largely due in part to the Republican tax bill that passed in 2017. And that outlook is a far more generous outlook than what the Congressional Budget Office predicted earlier this year, which is waning growth as a result of that tax law. So independent economists do not share the Trump administration's vision for a robust economic growth over the next 10 years. But that being said, like you said, the White House is aiming to balance the budget within 15 years rather than 10. But at the same time, and partially because of the tax law, the plan would grow the federal deficit actually by about $1.1 trillion for the next fiscal year and project trillion-dollar deficits for 3 years after that. So the White House today is definitely getting some questions of, you know, you're pitching fiscal responsibility and presenting this budget, yet you would be growing the federal deficit in the short term.
Now, breaking this down by department, Caitlin, everything gets cut, it looks like, except the Defense Department. What do we see there?
The Defense Department overall, the Trump administration is seeking a $750 billion request. And what's interesting about the defense proposal is the Trump administration is essentially seeking to use this special wartime fund to put part of that defense request into that because it's not subject to current budget caps. So essentially, the Trump administration's entire budget request is sort of preaching fiscal responsibility, you know, saying that it's staying, you know, under spending caps, but at the same time, it's sort of using this workaround in order to get a boost for defense. And that particular request is not gaining a lot of traction with Republicans on Capitol Hill. The president's chief of staff, acting chief of staff Mick Mulvaney, you know, when he was in Congress, even was a huge hugely opposed this idea that the Trump administration is now embracing in order to secure a defense boost. So a really interesting 180 there from the White House when it comes to requesting more money for defense.
Yeah, that brings up a complicated bit that I'll admit, Kayla, I don't fully get. There's a kind of a rule within Congress now that if you're cutting social programs, non-military spending, you also have to do military and vice versa. And this is a workaround to that. Do I have that all right?
So I think what you're talking about is this notion of parity, in that later this year, basically, Congress has to come up with a deal to raise the budget caps for defense and non-defense spending. So this budget expresses no interest in doing that. The Trump administration has said, we don't want to do that. We have a spending problem. You know, our budget, the what we're giving you today, sees no need for doing that, essentially. But what they're proposing to do with the defense request is sort of an end run around that idea in order to still secure more money. So they're taking a portion of that $750 billion, and they're sticking it into this special fund that is not subject to those caps. So essentially, they're able to get $750 billion without breaking spending caps. But largely, the budget proposes deep, deep cuts to domestic programs. I mean, we're seeing huge cuts to food stamps, Medicaid. It would impose mandatory work requirements for millions of people who receive welfare assistance through housing programs. And Democrats have said, you know, if you're going to raise defense spending, then you need to raise non-defense spending equally. So that that notion is something that you're going to hear a lot of discussion about moving forward.
Talking to Kaitlyn Emma, budget and appropriations reporter for Politico Pro. Kaitlyn, you've given us a lot of the big picture details. Let's get into congressional reaction now. You mentioned earlier that even some Republicans have raised concerns about what they're seeing. What are you seeing from Senate Republicans and House Republicans?
Right. We've definitely seen concerns about this defense spending idea, namely the use of this special war fund that has been sort of referred to as a quote-unquote slush fund in order to get a defense funding boost while avoiding those budget caps. There's little appetite for doing that. And we've, you know, heard from appropriators who've said, you know, listen, the Trump administration is going to have to give a little to Democrats here. They control the House, and there is no avoiding that. So to pretend like you're not going to raise the caps on non-defense spending is, you know, just unrealistic, because it will be outright rejected by the House.
And speaking of Democrats, what kind of things are we hearing from Democratic leaders?
Well, of course, lots of opposition. I believe Rosa DeLauro, who is a Democrat from Connecticut, she's the basically the chairwoman of the subcommittee, the House Appropriations Subcommittee that controls labor and education and health spending. You know, she said it'll be, quote unquote, a cold day in hell when she passes a budget like this. So you see a lot of that immediately. Democrats going after the Trump administration for, you know, proposing a budget that seeks to harm middle-class Americans by cutting billions of dollars from food stamps and essential health programs and things like that. So that is something that we'll hear a lot of going forward as Congress looks to fund the rest of the government by the end of the fiscal year and raise these caps for the budget.
Kaitlyn, you mentioned the S word a little while ago, shutdown. Is there a concern from members of Congress seeing the president's opening position here that this could be another road to a shutdown?
I think there's definitely a lot of concern. You know, this budget clearly stakes out a position where the White House is not interested in raising the budget caps, particularly for non-military programs. So that is one major thing that Congress has to do before funding the rest of the government, because that deal sets overall spending levels. Then, in turn, lawmakers figure out how to divvy up those spending levels. So for the White House to say, we don't even support raising those budget caps. That's red flag number one. And red flag number two would be the $8.6 billion request for a border wall. As you know, as everybody knows, the government, a quarter of the government shut down for 5 weeks earlier this year over President Trump's $5.7 billion demand for in funding for a border wall. And that is far less than what he's requesting now. So if that is something that they want to stick to their guns on, I think the specter of a government shutdown is a real possibility.
And briefly, as we wrap up, what happens next, Caitlin? What are you watching for now in this process?
So moving forward, we essentially see what the House and Senate Budget Committee want to do with this. Congress can choose to pass a budget. It doesn't necessarily have to pass a budget, but we have a lot of fiscal fights ahead of us this year. In addition to funding the entire government before September 30th, like I said, Congress has to negotiate a deal on raising the budget caps and negotiate a deal on lifting the debt ceiling, because around the end of the fiscal year or roughly the beginning of next fiscal year, sometime this fall, the Treasury Department is going to run out of its borrowing authority and the government won't be able to pay its bills. So there's a lot at stake here. And this budget doesn't exactly signal a willing and cooperative partner in terms of where the White House plans to be in a lot of these negotiations.
Well, Caitlin, keep your phone handy. I'm sure we'll have lots of reasons to call you in the coming months. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That's Caitlin Emma, budget and appropriations reporter for Politico Pro. We talked with her about President Trump's proposed budget for the 2020 fiscal year and the reactions from Congress. Coming up, a new project measures out the intensity of political partisanship across the United States, county by county. We'll find out how the map shook out and what's happening in the most politically tolerant parts of the country. Right now, Michael Arnold joins us in the studio for our spring membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. As a listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in, and it's thanks to your support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make Central Time and all your other favorite programs possible.
And Rob.
Yes.
We are so close to meeting the goal for this hour. We just have four pledges in the next 4 or 5 minutes. You think we can pull that off?
I think we can if people get over to their computer or their phone right now and make a gift for pledges. I think we could do it, Mike.
Yeah, the hourly goals are set up so we make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. We're like squirrels putting the nuts away for the winter, except in this case, it's for the spring and summer. But anyway, make your donation now. You'll get us a quarter of the way there at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We got an early breakdown there on President Trump's budget proposal. It's a starting point for a process that'll keep going. And it's an example of the kind of budget coverage we bring you this summer or this spring and summer. We're going to be looking at the state budget. A lot's going to go on there. The federal budget. These are big. These are complicated. And we break it down. We look at all the different details. And then we bring it to you. That's the kind of stuff we want to do here on Central Time.
That's right. And WPR is listener supported, which means that these conversations are driven by you, by your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes all these topics that you tune into every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And we have a membership drive special drawing, for a $500 grocery gift card. You have five chances to win. No contribution is necessary. You can see the rules at WPR.org, or you can just get automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art. That was honestly a little creepy.
1976 MGB. That hasn't run in 20 years. I regret it, and I see it every day in my garage, and I regret it even more.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob Ferret here with Michael Arnold, looking for those last four pledges this hour that we need to hit our goal. We can do it if you pledge now. Your support makes Central Time and all your other favorite programs possible. Give now. Pick the amount, 10 or 20 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And put your money behind something that actually helps, not something weird. You know, there's so many weird things you can spend money on. This is one of those things that keeps you thinking. It keeps you informed. It makes you a better person, a better citizen. That's what you're investing in when you support Wisconsin Public Radio. The number is 888-202-2552, or you can make your pledge online at WPR.org.
And the great thing is, after you pledge, you're going to feel great every time you listen, because you'll know, hey, I help pay for this. I'm helping put this on the air. I'm part of the team. Make your gift right now, and you're going to be really glad that you did. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Mike Arnold, looking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. The hour is coming to a close. We'll keep taking your pledges through the news to help us hit our goal this hour. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just four pledges to go, and we can do it. I know you've been meaning to make that pledge, because you're going to go home and like shovel something out of your driveway so your basement doesn't flood. So before you do that, make your pledge. It'll make you feel better. It'll put a spring in your step, and it will keep you informed in this constantly changing world that we're in. It's so hard to keep up. And as a listener, you rely on WPR to let you know what's new and important every day.
Hey, we're from Sela and Tom and Albion. Check this out. They say, we were overdue to show support for early afternoon programming. We listen every day. They're on both networks, Mike. They say they usually start with BBC News over on the other side there, then switch to Central Time at 4. Sometimes we have them both going, believe it or not.
Wow.
Wow, that might be too much for me, but more power to you guys, and thanks so much for pledging. How about you? Do you want to pledge in support of your afternoon listening while you're driving, shoveling slush, making dinner, whatever it is you do at this time of day? Make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Three more now, Mike.
That's right. We just have three pledges to go. You'll get us a third of the way there, and you support things that make your life more meaningful. Think about how many times you've learned something from Wisconsin Public Radio just by listening every day. Think about how you've become more engaged in what's happening around Wisconsin because of Wisconsin Public Radio. It wouldn't be here without your support. Listener support's the single largest source of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. So make a pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We can't do it without you. Make your gift now in any amount. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thanks so much.